Psalm 61, and we're going to read the entire psalm together, all 8 verses. Plus, I want us to think also about the title. Psalm 61, to the chief musician upon Neginah, a psalm of David. Hear my cry, O God. Attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. I will trust in the covert of thy wings, Selah. For thou, O God, hast heard my vows. Thou hast given me the heritage of those that fear thy name. Thou wilt prolong the king's life and his years as many generations. He shall abide before God forever. O prepare mercy and truth, which may preserve him. So will I sing praise unto thy name forever, that I may daily perform my vows. May God bless his word to our hearts for Jesus' sake. This morning, I want us to think particularly on the words of verse 2, where David says, from the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. May the Lord allow us to hear his voice as we consider these words today, for Jesus' sake. Before we go any further, though, let's just ask the Lord to meet with us. Father in heaven, now we would pray that you will bless the word of God. It is thy word. These things that thou dost set before us are words that you would have us to understand, to believe, and to hold to. We believe, O God, that thou art also desirous that we lift these words back to thee as a cry for our God to enter into our situation, to help us, to deliver us, to give us of the Spirit of God, that we would understand the mind of God as to how we are to act before God and before men. Lord, we would pray then that thou wouldst bless this time, allow the Spirit of God to be the preacher, allow there to be an overruling of that which has to do with men. O Lord, thou dost know that I cannot by my speech nor by my thoughts direct the hearts of any to thyself. It is your Spirit that does that. And so we would pray that he would be the preacher today. Allow each word to be directed by him. And Lord, we ask now again for the blood to cover our hearts. For Father, we are those who need all the benefits and graces of the Lord Jesus that blood brings. We pray in his name and for his sake. Amen. As we begin to consider this psalm, I want to stress to you that this psalm is a prayer. And we must not forget that. The whole of the context of this psalm is the turning of the eyes of the one who is singing, the one who is praying in his song, to the Lord. There was a man from some years ago named J.A. Alexander who made a terrific point about the title of this psalm. And he was saying this psalm is unique because of the setting that the title presents. In English, we have it to the chief musician on negina, or actually on stringed instrument, a psalm of David. The reality is that the words convey that David is not only the author of the words, this is not only a psalm that he prays to the Lord, but also the idea of the negana is that he himself is playing on the stringed instrument, and he himself is what we would call, in modern terms, the conductor of those who are worshiping. So this is, in fact, David's experience of worship that we're reading. This is what David is saying to the Lord. This is David's personal seeking of the Lord. He is the chief musician. He is the one that had his hand on the string instrument. And you might say, well, why is that an important point to consider? For this reason. The point is that rather than being a song that was prepared and delivered to the chief musician to be sung as a general psalm of worship by a host that nobody really knows how many they were or where they were or what they were involved with at the moment, here is a very personal song of worship. This is a personal prayer. Here is a pouring out of the heart in a fashion that is more than just words. Here is a psalm that can be taken by any child of God and prayed for himself. That's the point I want you to understand. Here are words that you can say, Lord, this is my song too. These are thoughts that are my thoughts. These are needs that are my heart's needs. This is something particularly you can take for yourself because that's how it was actually fashioned at the very beginning, by the inspiration of God. Now, as we look through this prayer, this song, a couple of things that you're going to note right away, and I think this makes for a very applicable transition to the day in which we live. Looking at this psalm and the nature of it, we see that David's conclusion was all about himself. Every place he looked, everything that he found himself seeing, said that he was in a very low place. A very low place, a very depressing place, a very hard place, a demanding place, both on spirit as well as soul and body. He was in a place where there was no ability to see anything but the miserable. All is misery, all is destitution, all is want, all is deprivation. And his conclusion about that place and his prospects for the future were, I am on the end of the earth. In other words, he was in the place where God was not, at least in his own mind. In his mind he said, I am one who is forgotten. I am as one who is forsaken. I am forbidden to know any happy thing. And he concludes that he inhabits a place wherein he is overwhelmed. What does that mean? When you're in a place where you're overwhelmed, where you're helpless, where you can't do anything to change your circumstance, there's nothing. You are helpless. There's just absolutely no help for you. What does this mean? What David is saying? Well, he's just simply saying, I need something outside of myself to help me. There is only one hope, there is only one help that any man in such a state will have. And the answer is, I need to be led to the rock. I need to be led to the rock. And I say, here is a sure and blessed truth. And this is David's sentiment. If I can but get to the rock of that help, I will find rest for my soul. My troubles will not go over my head. My heart and my soul will be refreshed, and I will be restored. If only I can get to the rock. Well, the question we'd ask at this point, I want to make it very, very plain. I'm not going to be cute in any way this morning as far as my thinking. Who is the rock? to take Luther's word, thus ask who that may be? Christ Jesus. It is He, Lord Sabaoth, His name, from age to age the same, and He must win the battle. Here is a very simple truth, and one that we should learn well. In such hours as our souls are overwhelmed, we do not need a change within the valley, but a lifting to the rock. We need to be led to Jesus. When your heart is overwhelmed, you need to be led to Jesus. I've got just a handful of very simple points I'm going to present to you. May the Lord help and may the Lord bless. The first thing I want you to see that you can gather from these words of David, the truth, the underlying key truth, I think, that he was setting forth by his psalm here is, number one, there is a rock. There is a rock. Now, I'm just going to say this and I'm going to let you think. Let this simple thought rest in your mind. There is a rock for you. I just want you to think on that for a second. There is a rock for you. In all things, He knows. In all things, He is controlling. He will be the sure footing for our minds and our hearts. There is a rock for you. The common plague of the overwhelmed soul is wrong thinking. And oftentimes that wrong thinking leads a man to say, it appears to my mind that there is nowhere that I may come to find help. I am in a place where there is no help for me. And it's oftentimes that we find ourselves feeling that sentiment in our hearts, and we conclude about our trouble that we have no friend that understands, no family member that can completely enter in to the plight that we face. We are all alone. I'm all alone. Perhaps there's also the thought that all resources have been spent and all strength is gone. And the heart has become a place of fatigue and failure and foreboding. And the point is that the help that I don't see today will even be worse tomorrow. Again, I want you to hear what this word is saying. As we read verse 2, the point that is to be made is indeed there is a rock. There is a place of comfort. There is a place of strength. There is a place of help for us. When Peter was sinking beneath the waves, the Lord Jesus said to him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? Matthew 14:31. And the Lord proved it true for him, and he will prove it true for us. I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. Hebrews 13:5. So we ask the question, can we be forgotten? Can the Lord Jesus turn from those that he bought by blood? God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will we not fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. Psalm 46. So here is that truth, the simple and the solid truth. Christ is that one to whom we may run in all of our days of need. He is the one to whom we may run. There is a rock. And let me just say this. Why is it that we can't find rest in other things? Why is it that we cannot find help by other means? You would think that perhaps that would help us. No, that's the Lord's design. You understand, the world may fashion in their minds that they are finding help in other ways or by other means. But for those who are the Lord's, the Lord will prove over and again that the only place that you will find help is from Himself. That is His design. We will find that vain is the help of man, but the Lord is our rock. So I put that before you. I want you just to think about that. I want you to, when you leave here today, I want you to be thinking, I have a rock. I do have a rock. No matter what happens around me, I have a rock that I can look to for my help. The second thing I want you to understand that we get from this psalm is that that rock is higher than I am. That rock is higher than I am. Again, think of the words. The Lord Jesus is above all that concerns us. The Lord Jesus is above all that concerns us. So I want you to see with me the application. What can be said with that truth in our mind? Well, first, that would teach us, or ought to teach us, that we are low. We are low. By this I mean we cannot do for ourselves what would cure our hearts or cure our situations. I obtained a thought from David Dixon, the old commentator from the 1600s in Scotland. It's not a quote, and I don't mean to try to put words in his mouth to make it sound like here's an authoritative word. This is a thought gleaned from what I read from him. The idea that he was presenting is this: it is easier for a blind man to see than for an overwhelmed man to find comfort for himself. You might better say to somebody who is completely blind and has never seen one thing in his life to say, "See that?" than for an overwhelmed man to find comfort for himself. And I want you to understand, just as a point of application for our own understanding, you know, this is why so many people in our day are distressed by circumstances to the point of depression and fear. They look to themselves to make their way of comfort. They look to themselves to try to find a way in which they can work through things or find a solution to things. They try to find the answer for themselves, but they find no help and they find no answer, and so they become downcast. Of course, because there is no answer outside of the Lord Jesus. There is none. We are low. We are helpless. We cannot lift ourselves up. We cannot solve our problems. That's a point we need to acknowledge. But again, as I said in our point, He is higher than we. He is high. And what affects me doesn't affect Him. He is above all. Let me explain. That means that He is above my overwhelmed soul. He is not affected by the turmoil that I'm in. His mind is not so clouded that He cannot see or know what I need. He is not overwhelmed in Himself in even the slightest way. He is higher than my weakness. He is not limited in His strength as I am in mine. And He can order all things after the counsel of His own will. My soul, be thou reminded of this thing. Our rock is above our sinfulness as well. Because sometimes we convince ourselves, the Lord could help me, but I have been so rotten. I have been so filled with the things that displease Him, I don't think He will. I don't think He wants to, because I am not worthy of these things. I say those are thoughts that often plague the heart of men. But those thoughts do not enter into His mind. There is now no reason for God to stand apart from me as His child, because the Lord Jesus has won the battle. He has taken care of the issue of my sin. All these things that would disqualify me from the help of God have been remedied and they have been taken out of the way. And so he remains and is a rock that is higher than all the floodwaters that lie about me. He's a rock that's higher than I am. And also I would present this as my third thought. This rock responds to the cry of a needy saint. We have a rock. He's higher than we are, and he does respond to us. You know, many, maybe you have even come to this place. I know I have from time to time. When we find ourselves overwhelmed, we come to a thought, what am I to do? What am I to do? And you know, apart from coming to the feet of the Lord Jesus, whenever you're faced with a dilemma or whenever you're faced with a situation that is very much a need of some sort, when you ask that question apart from coming to the feet of Christ, I say you haven't got a clue what you're to do. You don't know what to do. Everything you think of will turn out wrong. The force of the words here are that we have a Savior who is taken up with responding to the cry of his people. He knows what to do, and he knows how to help, and he knows exactly what needs to be done. His ear is open to the call of his sheep. How does he deliver? Does he order providence? Yeah. Does he move in the hearts of other people? Yes. But the chief way in which the Lord Jesus helps us is that he leads us to himself again. He leads us to himself. He brings us to that place where we hear his voice and are put at rest. I was struck again yesterday as I was reading through John chapter 4, that the Lord Jesus, when he was speaking to the woman at the well, presents to her who he is and presents to her the fact that if he were to give her life, she would never thirst again. And then she says, I want it. Now you would think, okay, the Lord has presented then the gospel of himself, and now he's going to show her exactly what is needed for her to have everlasting life. But you notice what the Lord did. Maybe you read through this and maybe you remember this. What did the Lord do? Go and get your husband and come back. Whoa. Now wait a minute. Now talk about a side move here, a way of moving away from the subject at hand. You know, to put it in the ways of men's thinking, he turned right away from that, closing the deal, if you will, to something that was entirely a side issue. Why would he have done that? Because the Lord Jesus had something more that needed to be opened in that woman's heart. There was something more that she had to realize about her need for him. And so he puts his finger on her problems and shows her who she is. And then she goes back to the people and tells, let me tell you about a man who showed me everything that I ever did. Now, did he show her everything she ever did? No, he didn't. But he put his finger on the biggest problem of her heart and her life, and it made it seem to her, man, I'm an open book. Sometimes the way that the Lord orders his providences are not exactly how we would think that they would go. But he is always open to the cry of his people. He always will enter into the needs of his people. And the biggest help that we have is not to have our situation change, but that we would be led to the feet of the Lord Jesus. He leads us to himself. And again, I'm just going to say this. You know, the biggest need that we have in this day is not that we have the ability to escape the germ or not to have to go through a hard time. Our biggest need is that we as a people would realize here is a call of the Lord for the people of God to turn their hearts again to Christ. Lord, here is an hour of need. Here's an hour of great turmoil. Lead me to yourself. Lead me to yourself. Let me find in you that which is available through your grace and goodness. The peace of God that passeth understanding. The ability to hear the voice of God in the Word. The ability to have courage to speak of the needs of men's hearts. Oh, I'd say this again is our chief need, what we need to have. Again, another thought from Dixon. Again, I'm paraphrasing him, and I'm not trying to put words in his mouth. But this was also suggested. He said, when a man is overwhelmed, his greatest need is communion with God. But that is a rock too high, which he's not able to find. He must be led to it. Lifting to the place of comfort is a work of the mercy of God. You need communion with Jesus Christ. But the problem is, you are not able to lift yourself to that point. It's as a rock that's higher than you are. You must be led and lifted up to that place. And the thing that will do that is the grace and mercy of the Lord Jesus as ministered to us through the power of the Spirit of God. Which brings me then to my next point. I want you to see with me this. That rock will lead me by the hand to the place of safety. What David is suggesting here is when he's saying lead me, it's not, this is what I'd like to see happen, but it's not going to. No, the idea is, this is what you do, Lord, so do it. This is your practice. This is how you deal with us as your sheep, so do that. Lead me then. I say, here's a promise and a lesson about the grace of God. Lead me by the grace of God. You know, grace is vastly misunderstood, and I'm not saying I have a corner on the truth of understanding fully. No man really can understand the grace of God, that which is infinite. But I will stress this, that grace is not an ability for you to do something for yourself. God gives you the ability to do something for yourself. That's not the grace of God. The grace of God is the result of God's own choice to work and overrule self. Quite the opposite. When God comes and overrules that which has to do with your own self, heart, and mind, you find that that's the grace of God at work. And our place then is to wait. We wait. God works. He will lead us. He will bring us along with Himself. And I have to say, then again, in our time of pestilence, we have to understand that for us, the Lord is leading all the way. And He's leading by His hand. We are to trust and not be afraid. Isaiah chapter 12 and verse 2, behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation. Our place is to understand that this rock that is higher than we are, whose ear is open to our cry, purposes to lead us to that place where we find Him and know His help. That is suggested, I say, in these words. And then there's one last thing, and I'll be done with our thinking on this morning. I want you to see this. The rock will prove to be the complete satisfier of all my need. If the Lord leads me to that place that is higher than I, if He leads me to stand upon the rock, as it were, and He establishes my going, if I am led to the rock, I will find that my soul will be satisfied. That is the promise of God. Seek me, and He shall find me. When you search for me or seek for me with all the heart, you will find not that God exists, but that God satisfies. But what about the valley and the circumstances? I want the valley to be changed so that I can be happy. I want my circumstances to change Why would you want your circumstances in the valley to change? There's nothing in the valley. There is nothing in this valley of our life that will prove to be a satisfaction. All the good things. Do you understand that all the things that we look at and say, now that's, I'm so happy to have this in my life. Do you understand that all the good things that we have in life are like fireworks? You know, in some ways, fireworks to me are very exciting. I love to go and see them, but in some ways, fireworks are the most exasperating and most dissatisfying thing that ever was invented by man. You say, well, why? Well, because, I think you know, well, as I do. There it is, boom, boom. Oh, is that pretty? No, it's gone. Well, I got to have another one. Oh, there's another one. Yeah, boom, there, yeah, that's gone. And by the time it's all over and they have the finale, the last boomity, boomity, boom, boom, and then it's over and you just see the cloud of smoke drifting away and everybody's clapping. You're going, now what? Nothing. It's over. Do you understand that the good things that we would call good things of this life, the things that we work so hard for oftentimes, are nothing but firework? They're just bang, here they are, then they're gone. That's not the Lord Jesus. That is not the Lord Jesus. He will prove to be that one that fills us with what's needed for us to be able to go on, to be satisfied, to be comforted, to not be fearful, to be that one who is able to show us that in all things he is working for us. The Lord will prove himself over and over. What is then the lesson? I think the lesson that David is saying, cry to the Lord who is your rock, because he has promised to prove himself to be that, and he will lead you and set you in that place where you find him to be all that he says he is, all that we hope for him to be, and more. In fact, exceeding abundantly above all that we would ask or think. Well, may the Lord allow his word to speak to our hearts for Jesus' sake. Father in heaven, now we would pray that you'll bless the word. Pray that you'll use it. Encourage us. We pray that thou will overrule that which has to do with man, has to do with man's thinking or man's inabilities. Allow the Spirit of God to take the truth of the word and use it in the hearts of your people to make us to be those in fact and in truth, to be followers of the Lord Jesus, whose hearts cry out that we would be lifted to where he is, that we might find the rest for our souls that's in him. Bless us now as we go from this place. Keep us close to thyself, we would ask. All in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.